Current Events and Trends by John Ross Schroeder and Gerald Ost. Where is America headed? Not so long ago, liberal commentators in the United States spoke of the European economic success in glowing terms, indicating that social democracy works. They praised the European dream of collective responsibility and worldwide consciousness leading to a better tomorrow for mankind. They also intoned about the European guide to better capitalism, really as much socialism as the market could bear. One or two liberal observers were even asking Americans if they were born on the wrong continent. Yet recent events have shown these views to be somewhat embarrassing. Gideon Rachman wrote in the Financial Times, "The normal processes of democracy in Italy and Greece had been unequal to the economic crisis. The European Union's repeated failure to find a solution to the debt crisis and so secure the future of the euro illustrated that pan-European politics were working no better than a national variety." Quoted from Our Age of Mounting Indignation, December 30, 2011. "Historically, the Europeans who immigrated to the New World for a better life have since established their own methods in the political and economic fields. The way of life has a brand all its own, including its take on capitalism. Though far from reaching the ideal, overall it has proved more economically successful than the more planned and regulated economies of other nations. Yet there can be little doubt that the present American administration favors the European social model. So will the European model then become the dominant force in the United States? Certainly, President Obama has challenged traditional U.S. economic strategy and tactics, seeking to spread the wealth by taxing the rich, increasing government spending, and initiating costly social programs such as his new, much more pervasive health care legislation and his recent rejection of the proposed oil pipeline between Canada and Texas, which would have added tens of thousands of more jobs. A Wall Street Journal editorial stated, Obama has done nearly everything he wanted. That's the problem. From the article, The State of His Policies, January 26, 2012. This November's national elections may decide just how much further Americans are willing to travel down the road in quest of European model socialism. Will the outcome of these U.S. elections turn out to be a referendum on whether or not the United States should become an honorary member of the European Union? To fully understand America's role in the world from God's point of view, download or request our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. It will give you essential historical and biblical background to understand the severe challenges facing America and the British Commonwealth of English-speaking nations. Sources, Financial Times of London and the Wall Street Journal. American isolationism, will history repeat itself? All who are familiar with U.S. history in the 1930s and early 40s know that prior to the Japanese attack in Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, many members of Congress tended to be isolationist in their approach to foreign wars, particularly the conflict in Europe. However, President Franklin Roosevelt certainly helped Britain as much as political climate at the time would permit him. But is America now beginning to enter another isolationist phase? Gideon Rachman reported in the Financial Times, the death of the leader of the Al-Qaeda allowed Barack Obama, in effect, to call an end to the war on terror as the organizing principle of U.S. foreign policy. The withdrawal of American troops from Iraq at the end of the year sent the same message and set the stage for a similar pullout from Afghanistan over the next 3 years. Quoted in Our Age of Mounting Indignation, December 30th, 2011. Wary of knotty problems and troublesome conflicts on the global scale, could America eventually decide to go it alone? Philip Stevens, also a columnist for the Financial Times, stated, for its part, the U.S. is retrenching. It has grown tired of wars and has been piling up deficits and debts. Barack Obama has announced big cuts in the Pentagon's budget. America will be more sparing in its deployment of military might. Europe will have to look after itself, and much of the greater Middle East will be left to itself. Quoted in the article, How a Self-Sufficient America Could Go It Alone, January 13, 2012. One of the reasons some observers and citizens in the United States may contemplate a more isolationist approach is Washington's track record in its association with international bodies. The American Spectator's review of The New Road to Serfdom by Daniel Hannan, a conservative member of the European Parliament for Southeast England, stated, in his chapter of America's position in the world, Hannan points out how just about every international body or agreement that America seeks to join is poisonous to her republic. International judges seek to undermine the Constitution, while the human rights establishment celebrates anti-American dictators. In every area, these global institutions eschew the American ideal of actually doing something about a problem in favor of the bad European habit of confusing declamation with action, except when it comes to actions that undermine American sovereignty. Quoted from the article, Two Roads Diverged, December 2010 and January 2011. Columnist Stephen tells why America is probably the only viable candidate for a more isolationist approach to the world's problems. It, America, is the most secure. It is rich in natural resources. New technology in oil and gas extraction has transformed the energy industry. The U.S. is headed for self-sufficiency in energy and by some accounts could become a significant net exporter. Although the United States economy is increasingly becoming more integrated with the global economic framework, its potentially isolationist tendencies are not that far from the surface, and there are now some signs of their possible emergence out of the woodwork. After all, America's first president, George Washington, did warn the country to stay clear of foreign and especially European entanglements. Still, as Philip Stevens concludes, a world of everyone for themselves would leave everyone poorer. We look forward to a coming true utopian age promised in the Bible, ending our troubled relationship first with God and then with one another. To learn more, request our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom. Sources, Financial Times of London and The American Spectator. How high could gas prices rise? The head of Iran's state oil company said Sunday that the price of crude will reach $120 to $150 per barrel as officials in Tehran prepare to discuss a ban on crude sales to European Union countries in retaliation for the EU embargo. Iran says the embargo will hurt the West more than Iran, in part by causing a spike in prices. Quoted in the article, Iran oil official says crude could reach $120 to $150 per barrel, downplays EU embargo in the Washington Post, January 29, 2012. Currently, the lowest price of gas in the United States is around $3 per gallon, far lower than most of the rest of the world. Could $4 a gallon or even higher become the new U.S. norm? Nations can and do use oil as a weapon. If oil sold at $150 a barrel, the price of gas would jump to about $4.30 per gallon. How many can afford to fill their tanks at that price? And how would this affect the price of everything else, including essential foods and basic needs that must be transported by vehicles also burning high-priced fuel? Much of the world is already skirting the edge of the abyss financially. More economic disruption could lead to increasing international conflicts and the rise of dictatorships not unlike what preceded World War II. Could Greece wreck Europe and America? The Associated Press reports that a disorderly and potentially devastating Greek debt default is looking much less likely. Grecian investors who own its bonds have reached a tentative deal to significantly reduce the country's debt and pave the way for it to receive a much-needed 130 billion euro bailout. Negotiators for investors said the deal could become final next week. If the agreement works as planned, it will help Greece remain solvent and help Europe avoid a blow to its already weak financial system, even though banks and other bond investors will have to accept multi-billion dollar losses. If no debt exchange deal is reached with the private creditors and Greece is forced to default, it would very likely spook Europe's and possibly the world's financial markets. Quoted by Dimitris Dallas in his article, Private Investors Near Deal on Greek Debt, January 28, 2012. The bigger picture here involves two things, how this might affect the emergence of a biblical foretold European-centered superpower and how what's happening in Europe will contribute to America's diminishing power in the world. If Greece is successfully propped up by other governments and investors, then America and Europe could retain the power they presently enjoy for a while longer, but it's all tenuous, and in one wrong slip, it could all come falling down like dominoes. The results of this scenario are in the hands of the one true God who sets up and takes down nations. Daniel 4, verse 25, Daniel 5, verse 21. Sexual abuse, rape, widespread in America. U.S. Today reported these shocking statistics at the end of last year. Sexual violence is a widespread problem in the U.S. that strikes the majority of its victims early in life, according to a major government study released Wednesday. Nearly one in five women reported being raped in their lifetime, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Janice Lloyd wrote in her article, Study, Sexual Violence Widespread, December 16, 2011. In 2009, there were just over 155 million females in the United States and probably somewhere near 160 million presently. Some 32 million women residing in America, ideally the land of the free and the home of the brave, have been raped at least once in their lifetime. These numbers are horrendous beyond words, and our sexually obsessed media culture bears a heavy responsibility. The study is the first to examine the prevalence of rape, sexual violence other than rape, stalking, and intimate partner violence, and to report the damaging health consequences that last a lifetime, the article continued. What callous and unfeeling men do to very young women and girls can only be called horrific and unconscionable. Among female victims, 30% report being first raped when they were between 11 and 17 years old. 12% were 10 or younger. Clearly, child abuse, especially of teenagers and very young girls, is a staggering problem in the United States. Further, nearly one in two women, 44.6%, and one in five men, 22.2%, experience sexual violence other than rape at some point in their lives. How far from true sexual intimacy men and women were divinely intended to experience in godly marriage. The master deceiver, Satan, the devil, has turned what was meant by God to be the most pleasurable of human experiences between a husband and wife into a living nightmare for the victims while inciting the brutality of callous perpetrators. See Revelation 12, verse 9, and 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. If you have been a victim of any type of sexual abuse, your life can be turned around by a genuine encounter with the living God. Ask for or download our free booklets, Who is God? And Marriage and the Family, The Missing Dimension, plus the reprint article dealing with abuse. Request all three today. Source, the USA Today. Will Britain defend the Falklands yet again? What goes around comes around. Scottish independence returns to the front burner of politics in Britain, and so do Argentine intentions to possess the Falkland Islands. They call them Las Malvinas. Recall that Britain, under the Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, successfully defended the Falklands from an attempted Argentine invasion and attempted takeover in 1982. The Sunday Times titled its full-page article, Can We Still Defend the Falklands, January 22, 2012. Certainly defending these islands remains current Prime Minister David Cameron's stated intention, saying that Britain will support the island's population, still very loyal to the United Kingdom. Recently, he has restated his support more than once. What this dilemma has done is to focus attention on Britain's ability to protect its distant territories. Some 3,500 years ago, God promised the descendants of the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph that they would possess the gates of their enemies, Genesis 22, verse 17, Genesis 24, verse 60, the critical choke points controlling commercial and military routes. Certainly the Falkland Islands are but one of those gates, many of which have already been lost because of national and individual disobedience to God's spiritual laws. Hong Kong has already passed on to China, and Spain still covets Gibraltar. Even Jamaica has decided to remove Britain's monarch from being its head of state. Should Argentina invade the Falklands, the task to protect them may even be more difficult than in 1982. At that time, Thatcher had two aircraft carriers that Cameron doesn't have. Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay have already decided to ban any Falklands-flagged vessels from their respective ports. In in effect threatening to intimidate and isolate the island population. Still, the British have a history of great courage in battle, even when the odds are heavily stacked against them. Argentina is very aware that Prince William is slated to be posted to the Falklands this year. He has already been warned that he will be flying into a potential war zone, but he remains more than willing. He's a helicopter pilot, as was his uncle Prince Andrew, who participated in the 1982 conflict. Valuable natural resources around the Falklands add to the tensions. It is likely that the surrounding seas are home to some of the world's last great undiscovered oil reserves. Quoted from the article, "Drilling for oil off the Falklands digs up dark memories," in the Financial Times, December 23, 2011. Argentina already has its own economic problems, making the Falkland Islands an even greater prize. For help in understanding the underlying biblical significance of these events in the South Atlantic, request our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Sources: The Times, The Sunday Times, Daily Express, Financial Times, all of London. End of article.